Markets react to the healthcare bill. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Markets are continuing to digest not just what's in the Senate Republican healthcare bill, but also its chances of passage. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial in New York and joins us. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
What are markets saying about the Senate's version of the healthcare bill?
Well, it's interesting. Most of the healthcare stocks rallied yesterday. It wasn't a huge gain, but they were up. And I suspect part of that is the bill is not expected to pass. Even if it does somehow get through the Senate, which is doubtful, it's so different from the House bill, and the House negotiations were so difficult, it likely won't pass there anyway. And the reason that has led to a rally in shares is that it means there's not likely to be another truly radical overhaul of the system. And frankly, that's easier for corporations to deal with.
If that is the case, if we're heading towards a patch scenario as opposed to a total overhaul, is it possible to see yet in markets who's going to win and lose, you know, hospitals, pharmaceuticals, insurers?
Not yet. And the reason I say not yet is that if it's going to be a properly done patch, it would have to be done by Congress. And that would require both parties to abandon some really deeply entrenched party principles. The alternative is that the private sector is going to have to figure out how to work within the current system. And if that's the case, it will take years, I think, to work through things. At the moment, insurers are stepping away from the exchanges, for example, and that's one way they've managed to preserve their margins. But who knows what the new system's going to look like once the process is over.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York, thanks so much.
Thank you.
It was a year ago today that the UK voted on whether to leave the European Union.
The British people have spoken, and the answer is we're out.
The BBC's David Dimbleby there speaking 1 year ago today. And since that time, the British pound has fallen about 7% against the dollar.
Hi, David Brancaccio, stepping out of my anchorman role for a second. It is the final week of fundraising before our books close for the year. We're asking you to step up and help support us today so that we can continue the in-depth, independent economic coverage and innovation coverage and business coverage that you rely on. Any amount, even a small donation each month, really does count. We appreciate your support. Give today at marketplace.org/donate.
The U.S. has dropped plans for major trade deals. The rest of the world is moving right on ahead without us. Japan and the European Union say they are almost done hammering out a major free trade agreement. It would be the largest free trade deal ever for the European Union. The two trading partners have been working on it since 2013, but negotiations have become a little more urgent recently. Marketplace's Aaron Schrenk reports.
Together, the EU and Japan account for more than a third of global GDP. And says Jeff Rathke at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, they're major trading partners.
The trade relationship is over $100 billion a year between the EU and Japan, and you know, investment is also large.
Rathke says one sticking point has been Japan's reluctance to open its agricultural markets, but he says it will make concessions because in other areas it would benefit big time.
Access for automobiles to the European market is very important for Japan.
The EU wants European businesses to be able to bid on government contracts in Japan. Maria Garcia at the University of Bath in the UK says since the U.S. pulled out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Japan has been fishing for trade. So has the EU.
They've seen it as an opportunity to take advantage of the fact that the United States is taking a step back to gain improved access to these markets.
Garcia warns, however, that trade deals are complicated and ratification could be further away than expected. I'm Aaron Schrenk for Marketplace.
The U.S. Conference of Mayors begins its annual meeting today. More than 250 mayors will meet in Miami Beach, and they expect to hear from a White House official on infrastructure plans. President Trump, you'll recall, touted a $1 trillion infrastructure package in the campaign. But a lot of that money is to come from public-private partnerships. And U.S. mayors have a whole lot of questions. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
U.S. infrastructure needs some love. About $4.6 trillion of love by 2025, according to the American Society of Civil Engineers. Robert Puentes is CEO of the Eno Center for Transportation, an independent think tank.
By having the new president talk about infrastructure, it pushes it closer to the front burner of the policy discourse. And that's all been great.
But he says everyone still needs specifics, including U.S. mayors.
It's that old Wendy's ad, you know, where's the beef?
Daryl Steinberg is the mayor of Sacramento.
What is your proposal? Does it actually involve significant federal partnership with states and cities?
And mayors will be asking about those much-touted public-private partnerships, just how they're supposed to work. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And you may remember about 5 months ago, President Trump spoke at a Boeing plant in South Carolina, promising to fight for every last American job. Well, an unknown number of workers at that same facility are being laid off, the Washington Post reports. Boeing back in December said it was scaling down production of its 777 due to lower demand. But fear not, South Carolina, Samsung, according to the Wall Street Journal, is in talks to invest $300 million in a factory making oven ranges there. Win some, you lose some, I guess. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.